Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Stay tuned for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Well, as usual, I come into a Sunday morning and I feel my weakness. Isn't that a surprise? Now the Lord reminds us how much we need him. And, I've had thoughts on my mind and just wrestled with them. And, the devil does everything he can to interfere, doesn't he? If we're serving the Lord and looking to him, the devil's going to throw in everything he can. But I praise God for his faithfulness. I praise him for his goodness. It's like we said last week, a lot of times what we need is just the basics of Christian living and the foundation that we stand upon. Well, we never get away from that. But also, I believe God wants us to remind us about the context in which we serve him. That is this world and its condition. And the fact that he has called us not just to serve him in the world, but in this particular time in history. And I believe the Lord, along with, how it works and the foundation that he's laid for us, he also wants us to understand the times and be ready. And, we've had services that have focused on that recently, like not just be ready, but getting ready. And being an honest appraisal of what's happening. And somehow my mind has gone back to 2 Thessalonians, truths that we have looked at in the past, but I'm trusting the Lord will not only make it fresh, but emphasize what he wants to emphasize. Okay? Paul was ministered to the Thessalonian church, and he was led there in the course of, I think it was his second missionary journey, somewhere along in there. And he went to the city of Thessalonica, and as his custom was, you'll read this in Acts 17, I'm not going to turn there, but he went to the Jewish synagogue. Everywhere he went, if there was a Jewish synagogue, he went there first and announced the gospel, which was exactly the right thing to do. And then he went for three consecutive Sabbaths, so that's three Saturdays in a row, he ministered. And so this was a period of, what does that make, 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks. And then the people in the synagogue didn't want to hear it anymore. Some of them did, and they followed him, and a whole bunch of other people from the Gentile population began to gather to him. We are not told how long he was there, but it wasn't long. Weeks, maybe. And then persecution was raised up against him, and they met at night and sent him out of the city, was it Barnabas or Silas, I think, was with him at this point. And so he was only there a short time and raised up this church. I mean, we think about what it takes to raise up a church. I'll tell you, if the Lord's with you and in it, and he is really making himself known, that's what it takes. We don't need methods. We don't need anything that comes from, that originates in us. We need him to sovereignly work. And God had a people that he had known from the foundation of the world. They were some of the ones that Jesus went to that cross about. Praise God. And you go back to 1 Thessalonians, which I won't do, but Paul is rejoicing in the fact that the word came with power and conviction. And that there was a genuine, obviously divine work that had been accomplished in their hearts. So I'm just going to read this and trust the Lord to stop and focus on what he wants to. I have a central thought that we'll get to. But anyway, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, this is 2 Thessalonians, the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. I tell you what, church growth, this is the kind of growth the Lord's looking for. You can have numbers and have nothing. But I'll tell you, if you've got people that have more and more of the Lord and it's evident in their lives, don't worry, the numbers will come. The Lord can add to the church daily those who are being saved like he did in Acts. But this is the kind of church growth that the Lord is looking for. Is your faith growing? I'll tell you, God is going to institute situations and needs in our lives where the only answer is to go to God and say, oh God, I need you, and I'm trusting in you. I'm going to exercise faith in the face of adversity, and my faith is going to get stronger. And the Lord knows what we're going to need and what circumstances we will face. As we've said many times, He's writing the story, and He knows where we're headed, knows how to get us ready for it. But anyway, okay, so he's acknowledging this in them. He says, therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. So the persecution didn't stop when Paul and Silas left town. It kept on going. They were having to serve God in the face not only of just, well, we don't like you guys. This is absolute persecution. Some of them were being jailed, put to death, their possessions seized. There were a lot of things that were going on that we hear about in other parts of the world, we hear about in history. We're not so familiar with them here yet. It's coming, folks. That's part of what I believe the Lord wants us to wrap our brains around. Anyway, so Paul is just boasting. These people not only are facing all kinds of circumstances that they didn't choose and wouldn't choose, but they are still putting one foot in front of another. It's not defeating them. They are being stronger in the face of it, okay? And Paul is saying, boy, you want to know what it means to serve the Lord? Look at the fellows over there. Look at the people in Thessalonica. Did you hear what happened to brother so-and-so the other day? And he's faithful and he's looking to God. You need to be like that. Well, wouldn't that be nice if the Lord could point to us and say that? It certainly wouldn't be any credit to us. It would be a credit to Him and to His grace and His power. Thank God. All right? So, of course, that raises questions. Is this just going to go on forever? Or is God ever going to put things right? I mean, look at all the evil people doing evil things. Why doesn't God do something about it? Well, don't worry. It says, all of this that we see in your lives is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. Folks, worthiness doesn't come from what I am naturally. But I'll tell you, if we're going to truly lay hold of what Jesus accomplished at the cross, we're going to have to lay hold of it 100%. Be 100% identified with Him, whatever the cost, whatever comes. And I'll tell you, God's going to be with us to do it. He doesn't dump that on us and say, figure it out and get your strength up and go for it. But I'll tell you, people who are not willing to stand for Christ, whatever the cost, aren't worthy of this kingdom. It's 100% or it's nothing. All right? That's a message that is just not that clear in America because of the circumstances that we have. It's not so clear-cut as to those who serve God and those who don't. It will get that way, okay? So anyway, here's the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. Don't worry. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to those who are troubled and to us as well. Okay, when's that going to happen? All right. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with His powerful angels. You know, he talked about that in the first book. He pictured the time when Christ would be coming with the trumpet and the dead in Christ raised. He moves right straight into the fact that that day is going to be a day of destruction for the world. And we're not of those who are asleep and unaware of those things that are coming. The picture God is painting is one that we've painted many times. This all happens as part of one event. It's not he's going to zap people into the thin air, into the ether waves, and make them disappear, and then all of this other stuff's going to unfold, and then he's going to come again. And then, you know, and then and all this huge chart of events, supposed future events, all happens. No, it's going to all happen at the same time, just like it did, as we said many times, in Noah's day and Lot's day. God's going to come, rescue his own, and pour out judgment, and it all happens at the same time. God's going to take care of what's wrong with this world, and there's plenty wrong with it. Right now, he's using it to help prepare us. Because being prepared for all that he has planned has everything to do with our having to stand in this hour and in what goes on in this world. It's absolutely shaping us for something that is eternal. It's worth everything to serve Jesus Christ. Paul, I think this was read maybe in the funeral, I don't know, recently anyway, where Paul said, the things that are happening to me are working for me. They're working not against me, they're working for me, a far more eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, we look at the things which the world can't see. But God can give vision. I don't mean something you can literally see with your eyes, but I mean something that we know in here to be true because he has revealed it. There is that kind of knowledge that's real, folks. God wants everyone to have it that will turn their heart to him. All right? So we see the relief happening to the one and the destruction and justice falling upon the other all in one event. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just a matter of believing it with your head. There's an obedience that follows that demonstrates that, yes, I do really believe it. Faith without works is dead. It's just theory. But God wants everything we believe about him to be translated into our lives. Thank God it all comes from him, doesn't it? Okay? All right. They, speaking now of the wicked, they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the, when? On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. I was just pondering this morning and thinking about what in the world, with all the thoughts I had, what in the world are we going to call this? But I think the title is probably right in that verse, in those verses, by his power. We need to know what's coming. But God is not wanting to tell us what's coming to make us fearful and think that, oh God, I can't possibly handle this. Everything has to be seen through this lens, by his power. And so here is a people who have in their hearts a desire to please God, a desire to be more like him, a desire to be conformed to his image and all of those things. Where do they get that? Where do you get that? God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, everything about the kingdom of God is supernatural. He's not looking for anything from you except surrender and looking to him for all that we need. Praise God. Praise God. That's the key to everything. And you see this picture of fruition. What is fruition? I mean, if you have a fruit tree, what does fruition mean? It means not only a bunch of blossoms, it means they begin to form and they begin to ripen and then you wind up with fruit. The purpose of the fruit tree is to produce ripened fruit. Well, God's got a purpose for this earth. He has a crop, if you want to put it that way, and Jesus did put it that way, that's ripening. There's a harvest going on right now. There's a harvest going on in other parts of the world, many parts of the world. There's a whole lot going on that God knows about. I just want to be a part of whatever he's doing here. I want him to work in me whatever he needs to work in. There's plenty. I realize you guys are all perfect, but you've got a lot of work to do in me. So anyway, by his power, he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that grace comes in there, doesn't it? A lot. God's power at work saving unworthy sinners. That's my definition of grace. And boy, I've got to have his power. There ain't nothing in me. All I can do is come to him as an unworthy, helpless sinner, totally unable to live up to his standard. But he comes because of what Jesus did at the cross. He blots out my sins, but he doesn't leave me there and say, okay, now do better. He comes in and begins to give me the brand new life. It's not a matter of being, trying to take someone that's part of this corrupted creation and say, okay, now straighten up and fly right. The only thing you can do with this creation is destroy it. Put it to death. And I'll tell you, when I come to Christ, when anybody really comes to Christ, they are identifying not just with the sacrifice on the cross, but with his death. We're going right with him into that tomb, and we're coming out with a new life. It's supernatural power that we need, folks. May God raise up, not just here, but everywhere. May he call together his people and make his power and the reality of his kingdom known. So now Paul's going to deal with an issue, because we know that, you know, in the beginning, the church, there was a purity and a power to the church, but it wasn't that long before false teachers began to come in. People that Satan said, boy, I got to do something here. And I haven't got the power against this. But I know what I can do. I'm a good liar. And so he says, I'm going to get people that can just kind of begin to twist the truth and mislead the people, and we're going to split them up. He's done a pretty good job, hasn't he? Boy, I'll tell you, we need to have our hearts saying, Lord, we don't know, and we need you to lead us. Oh, God. So anyway, the issue that Paul was dealing here had to do with the coming of the Lord and some false teaching. And this, there's more than one purpose. It's not just to establish a doctrine and try to get that right, because the Lord's going to come when he's going to come, and he knows. He just wants us to be ready and to be getting ready, okay? But there's something that's very, very relevant to us, because Paul talks about something that's coming, and from his point of view, it was future. From our point of view, we're in the middle of it. There's something that's unfolding that he's talking about here. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him. Now, in all that you talk that he follows to talk about, remember that's what he's talking about. His coming. So what's going to be happening at the time he comes, all right? Is it just going to be in the middle of everyday life and then boom, we're gone? Or is this going to be, this thing's going to unfold that are going to lead up to that, all right? We ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us. So somebody come in and wrote them a letter and said, this is what Paul's teaching. Or here's a letter and it's from Paul. It says, this is from Paul. But it wasn't. And so Paul wanted to correct something that had become an error in their minds. All right. So we're going to tell you not to be easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter. Asserting, here's the false thing, the thing they were asserting, the day of the Lord has already come. I don't know how in the world they were trying to get that across, but anyway. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The man doomed to destruction, he will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Now, you know, it's hard to read something like this without thinking about the popular doctrines out there about this Antichrist is going to make a covenant with the Jews. We're all going to be gone. And then he's going to set up shop in the temple of God. I mean, there's going to be a temple built in Jerusalem, and he's going to go in there and say, I'm God. That's not what this is talking about. And I don't know, one way or the other, God, we're going to have to stay tuned with all of this as to how this unfolds. I have heard it said that this isn't an individual or not, or at all. It's just a general condition. Or I think there's evidence that there probably will be an individual, but he wouldn't be able to do what he's doing unless the condition existed in everybody else. So what difference does it make? This is a condition that's going to take hold of the world of lost men. That's what it boils down to. Okay? Now, whether there is a single man who does this and takes this place, I don't know. I do know, and I've said plenty of times, that there are people who have laid out their plans to establish a global society, bring everybody under their control, and life wouldn't look at all like it looks now. I mean, these are explicit plans that people, powerful people in our world have. What's the Lord going to allow and when he's going to allow it? I don't know, but it's unfolding. You can see the inspiration behind it. Okay? So anyway, this is coming. Now, what's this business about the temple? Well, I'll remind you of something that was said even in the Old Testament days when they did have a literal temple. God does not dwell in temples made with hands. When he talks about the temple of God, God created mankind to be his temple. His purpose was to live in us. He is spirit, to live within us, to empower us, to have a united existence that preserves all of our uniqueness, everything he created us to be, but yet we're in total harmony with him. Didn't Paul talk about what God is doing when he broke down the middle of wall partition? We talked about this last week, about the people of God, Jew and Gentile, that distinction is gone. God is building us together for what? A habitation, a place to live. We're growing up to be a holy temple unto the Lord. That's what God's looking for. But here is somebody who asserts the dream of Satan to take God's place and to inhabit the human race. That's what's going on. He sets himself up as though, I'm God. You're going to have to worship me. Okay? So that's what he's talking about. But he says there is a rebellion. It's something that was in the future. This was something definite that was going to happen. Okay? You think that's happened? I do. All right? Don't you remember, verse 5, that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things. And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. What's that about? You see something that Satan's dream didn't die with the cross. He has continued to work, but God has restrained him. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended. All power, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore. Do you think that if Satan had this kind of control over lost mankind, that the gospel could have gone out? He hasn't had the power to prevent it. He has certainly tried every way. But his dream is not just to hinder God. It's to drive him out. It's to be God himself.
This has been the Midnight Cry broadcast. If you would like a DVD or CD of today's message in its entirety, please request it by program number. While it is not required, a donation of $10 for DVDs and $5 for CDs is suggested to help with expenses. Also, for those who request it, we will send you our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, free and postage paid. Send your requests to Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina, 28388. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time. And may God richly bless you until then.